Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see everyone excited about worship today. We welcome you to College Park. A few announcements we'll make as we prepare for worship. First off, we'd like to find out who is here today, and the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. And then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when you are done filling that out, if you could send it back to where it got started. And we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today. And our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several things listed in your bulletin. Draw your attention to a couple of them. Number one, children's time is today. We'll invite the kids to come on down just for a few minutes down front. Speaking of children, we are in the middle of Operation Christmas Child. We don't have the boxes out, but we'll do that tonight. We are collecting items to go into the Operation Christmas Child boxes. From toys and books and toiletry supplies, soaps and toothbrushes and candies, those kinds of things. We will be making these boxes, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. The children and the youth will be doing those, and we need supplies to make up those boxes. So in the newsletter, if you could find a newsletter, inside there is a list of all the items that you can donate. So thank you for that. Reminder, there is no grace notes this week, no rehearsal this week. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Any other announcements we need to? We're good. Okay, we want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We thank you for the pew pad that you filled out just a moment ago. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will find you. And they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. Becky Haney.
Charlie's out of town, so I'm doing this morning. As you know, next Sunday we elect six deacons to replace those who are rotating off. And today I want to introduce those who are here. And as your bulletin says, if you're going to be absent next Sunday, you may vote absentee in the church office sometime during this week. So as I call your name, come up here and stand so people can see who you are. Joseph Alexander. Jeremy Cobble. Bill Clapp had a previous commitment and sends his regrets but not being able to be here this morning. Gary Christ. Michael Groover. Ken Hatchett. Vince Hammontoller. Lee Hinesley. Terry Leffler. Right. Barry Nelson, Tony Perkins, Phil Roberts, and Rusty Rose sends his regrets too. He had a previous reunion, I think, this weekend. But these are the 13 who will be on the deacon ballot for next Sunday. Thank you.
This is my story. This is my song.
Will you pray with me? What a gift it is to know all day long, God, you are there. You have taken care of our eternities. You have given us the gift of your love and your forgiveness. It should remind us every day to live a life of gratitude and thankfulness. So, Father, as you come into this place, we pray you will hear us worship you with everything that we have. Hear our gratitude. Hear our thanks. Hear the words that we sing to you and you alone. You are worthy of all this and more. In Jesus' name. Okay, can y'all slide this way for me? I want to sit down and talk. A lot of our friends are gone today, so it's, guys, can y'all slide this way? Slide this way. We're just going to have a little conversation, just the three of us, okay? Did y'all have a good Halloween? Was it a fun Halloween? What do you remember? What happened at Halloween? You go trick-or-treating. Do you get candy? Do you remember some of the houses that you got? Some were kind of scary. Some you didn't want to go see. How did you know which house to go to? If the light was on, do you go to that house to get the candy? Yeah, if the light is off, you stay away from that house, right? And you remembered what to do, right? You remembered, your mom or your dad said, go up to the door, what do we do? Do we ring the doorbell or we knock on the door? Remember that? And then person comes waddling down and they go, open the door. And what do you say? Trick or treat. And then what happens? What happens then? Do they close the door in your face and say bye-bye? Or do they give you something? Give you something? Jackson, did they give you something? Yeah. They gave you candy. And then what do you say? You say, thank you. You remembered all of those things. One of the coolest things that God gives us is our brains. And we remember cool stuff. Like, I remember going to the beach. Have you ever been to the beach before? Do you remember playing in the sand? Right? We remember things. That is such a cool gift that God gives us, is our brain, so that we can remember things that have happened in the past. This morning, we're talking about remembering a lot. And Jesus says to remember what God has done for us. So today, can you, when you're remembering things that you've liked in the past, can you thank God for that memory? Can you do that for me? All right, let's pray together. God, thank you so much for our memory and that we can remember all the things that you have done for us. We love you for that memory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job. Good listening.
We come to the time in our service today when we are going to remember and give thanks and honor our church members who have gone to be with the Lord this past year. We miss them. Some of these you will know, and some you may not know, but they certainly left a vacancy in their family, in our church, and we just want to continue to remember the family members and their great loss. And I do see some of the family members here today, and we're glad you could be here. First of all, Mr. Reese Alexander. And Mr. John Bell. Mrs. June Bell. Mr. Calvin Case. Mrs. Robina Krim. Mr. Gardner Granger. Mr. Everett Harris. Mrs. Helen Howard. Mr. Jack Hoyle. Mr. Harry Mutford. Mrs. Marie Murphy. Mr. Bud Smith. And Mrs. Mary Lou Snodgrass. And Mrs. Blanche Thornton. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Amen. And to God be the glory for all of these wonderful people.
Wow, what a wonderful promise. That day, when that day comes and we get to see our Savior, because of His death, His resurrection, His stories, His parables, His teachings, that's will be a wonderful, wonderful day. Let us pray. Lord, we're gathered in Your house today to sing and shout the victory because You have overcome death. And because You have done that, we have that opportunity too. Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You for the many, many blessings You give to us. And Lord, as we return a portion of what we have gathered back to You, Lord, we pray that they will be used for Your glory. In Thy name we pray. Amen.
Wow, songs of faith, strong faith, really a testimony to how our congregation feels about God's power, even in the face of death and of the conquering power of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I really do appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this morning in this way. I'm glad that Raymond and Sondra can be away for a trip as brief as it is. We are thankful for that. And, of course, he leaves truly big shoes to fill. So you can feel sorry for me. No, you can pray for me. No, seriously, he does. He's such a good preacher. And haven't we enjoyed the series on Be the Message?
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, really, that was just wonderful. Well, today, as we have remembered and given thanks for the members of our church who've left us, for their heavenly home, we are reminded of how brief our earthly lives actually are. What a short time that we're here compared to eternity. Our own mortality just comes front and center on a day like today. And then we sing those songs of faith, and Teresa rocks it out for us. And I know the ladies at Independence Village enjoyed that because she plays that there when we do our Bible study. They're nodding. Yeah. But today, I chose to focus on the precious gift of life, our earthly life, a gift to us from God, and our eternal life, because they go hand in hand. Sheila Vogler said something to me a few weeks ago after John had already begun his many treatments for cancer, and it just seemed to hit a chord with me at a deep level because she said it. And in light of what they're going through with that daily battle with cancer, she said, you know, really, each day is a gift unto itself. How true that is. We just have one day, don't we? That's all we really have is today. I was reminded of that Wednesday evening when Don raised his hand to add a prayer request. Robert Carter, age 24, killed in an automobile accident. And just found out the next day after that he's the grandson of some friends of ours. And it just, you know, just how life is can be brief, but yet how wonderful that he has been covered in prayer and has, you know, still lived a full life there, even at 24. It's not the number of days, it's the quality of life that we live. Truly, we are wonderfully made. We are indeed, but we're fragile, at least on the outside. If you'd like to join me in reading our scripture passage, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. I'll read that for us if you'd like to join in. You can use a pew Bible too there in front of you. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And then, at the very end, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which we are seeing are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that last verse was from a different translation, from the New American Standard. So I read that last verse with that. Well, you know, this passage to me, first of all, when I first read it, and I just was drawn immediately to this when Raymond and I talked about my bringing a message today, and the first thing that I thought of was jars of clay. Really? What happens to clay pots and clay jars when they clang against each other? What happens when they slip out of a hand? Yeah, really, with a bang. And what happens when they have some age on them? Yeah, right, get a little brittle, right? Yeah, a little brittle and maybe little holes in them. These things happen because clay pots are certainly fragile. You know, Rodney Stilwell, the chaplain for Forsyth Prisons, is a prolific potter. And he loves to create pottery pieces. And I wonder how many pieces of his have been accidentally dropped or someone else has dropped them and smashed. But he understands the theological significance of being a potter and the story that tells. He understands that God is the potter and that we are the clay and that we truly are jars of clay. Jars of Clay is the name of a well-known Christian band. Now, some of you here today know that, and some don't. But they actually had a concert in our area recently to raise money for water for third world countries. And they do this all the time. I mean, they're just amazing. So I decided to email them and ask them about their name and say, well, you know, how did you come about to have the name Jars of Clay? And they emailed back. And here's what they said. We read the verse 2 Corinthians 4:7 and really like the image of the frailty of man, but also holding this precious treasure within something so vulnerable. And then they wrote, great picture of God in us. I love that. Great picture of God in us. Because we are just jars of clay, the spotlight isn't on us. It's on the treasure inside. Not on the vessel, but on God, on the power within. Not on the container, not on the carrier of that power, but on God's power working in us. The spotlight is on that giver of all surpassing supernatural power, surpassing any power on this earth, whether it's physical or technological, that supernatural empowerment for daily living that can only come from the presence of the living God inside of us. How grateful we are. We hold within us the light and the life of our Savior, yet we're so fragile and so faulty, so chipped and misshapen, and certainly subject to sudden damage and breakage. It's obvious it's not about us. It is not all about us at all. But it's about this wonderful and amazing God who is passionately in love with his children, who chooses to fill our fractured selves with himself through his amazing Holy Spirit. What demonstrates this more than what we read in verse 8? We're hard-pressed on every side. I like how this writer says this. He says, we're squeezed, but not squashed. We're bewildered, but not befuddled. We're pursued, but not abandoned. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. I like that. Life is hard. I can't imagine what it would be like not to have Jesus in my boat, so to speak. He is so good at calming the waves, the storms of life. We can turn to people, and they're a great help. But they're fragile and limited, just like we are. They can't always be there for us, but our Savior can. The psalmist says it well, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Right, y'all know that well. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters foam and roar, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. He is a shield to all who call upon His name, a stronghold to save us. For His name's sake, He will guide us and receive us into glory. My favorite verse that springs forth out of this part of our passage is Ephesians 3:20. You could probably say it with me. He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to His power that works in us. I love that reference again to His power in us. It joins right with that other verse, His power in us, not us. We're just those clay pots. We're those frail, broken pieces, but through whom God's glory shines so brightly. Sometimes the more broken we are, and I think we'll all agree, the more broken we are, the greater the power and the more His light can shine. You know, I look at some of our choir members, and I don't think they know this, but every Sunday when I hear them sing, I love their message, but I love who is singing the message just as much. Because we have so many in our choir who have been great overcomers in their life through sickness and through cancer. And here they are singing God's glory. They are clay pots like I am and like we all are. We've all had trials and tribulations. But doesn't their light shine brightly? Yes. Praise the Lord. We just praise God for that. Well, let's read further. Let's look at another verse here that I read earlier in 2 Corinthians. Verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. It's a little confusing, isn't it? Because then we read, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Now that sounds like a puzzle, doesn't it? And I really, and I've heard different interpretations of that passage, and I really thought about that and thought, you know, well, what would God have us to look at here in that section of the passage? Well, we carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus. For without His sacrifice, folks, we know we couldn't have His life within us. Our precious gift of life is made possible through the sacrifice of our Savior, God's only Son. And verses 11 through 12 remind us that as we give of ourselves in Christ's name, okay, we're given of ourselves, as we share this gift of life, this treasure within these clay jars, we give up some of our own life, don't we? We do. We give up some of our own life, and you think, oh dear, I better hold that all for myself. Or maybe myself and my family, or just my best friends. Some of you were here on a Wednesday night when we gave out warm fuzzies. Now, some of you don't know the story, whether you were here or not, but we told the story of warm fuzzies back when I first came to College Park. And Raymond never knows what he's going to get into when he asked me to do something, does he? But we actually had warm fuzzies that we gave to each other at the end of that famous, well-known story. And we discovered that the more warm fuzzies and compliments that we gave to people, little balls of cotton, colored cotton, the more we gave, the more we received, and we never, ever could run out. They just proliferated. So we always had plenty, and that's the way it is. We carry about the sacrifice of Jesus, and we think, oh gosh, I'm giving some of myself away, and I'm going to be all too tired tomorrow, tonight, and to do all this. But you know what? The energy comes because it's supernatural. It is not us. that energy to take the next step, make the next call, hug the next person, or just work with your family or sit with a loved one or just do whatever, write that note. That energy will come through the power that works in you and in me, because we are clay pots. So, you know, verse 12 tells us that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. You may have heard about the little boy who was asked to give some of his blood for his young sister's surgery, and he somberly agreed. And as he lay on the table, after the needle was inserted, he asked the nurse, "Well, how long is it before I die?" He really thought he's going to die. He thought he's given his life for his sister. I think that's a beautiful parallel. I love that parallel because he thought he was given his life. Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. As we give of ourselves, even as our bodies may grow weak with wear and tear, though our clay pots acquire chips and fractures, the power of the death and resurrected life of our Savior grows stronger and stronger inside. And you know what I mean. I know you know what I mean. So in verses 13 through 15 of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says that because of the spirit of faith in Jesus Christ that we share, we believe and share this life within, because we know the one who raised Jesus from the dead will raise us. Now here's what I love. He says, we believe. And he said, I believe then. He said, I believe, therefore I speak. As more and more hear this good news of eternal life, we will be raised in and through Christ. Thanksgiving will overflow to the glory of God from all who receive Christ. Now, why could we light these candles, speak about our church family who's gone on to heaven, and then turn around and sing these glorious songs and hear this beautiful piece on the piano and smile because we know where they are? They're not lost. They are in the most wonderful place beyond what we could ever imagine. And we are so glad to know that in Christ, they're home safely. But Paul is very sure here that we will be raised and he'll be presented with us to Jesus. And he's saying, I believe. It's all about believing, isn't it? Believing. You have to believe. I mean, you know, to know is one thing, to know about God and Christ and to know about the great present of salvation. But if we don't believe it, it's not going to do us any good. It's not going to give us a passageway into that wonderful place. We have to believe and to grab hold of it and to let it soak inside and say, Jesus, I'm all yours. I believe. I believe that you arose from the dead and that when I die, I also will rise to be in heaven. You know, when we believe that, the best part is that we are set free to live because, you know, when you're not scared of death, you can embrace life and live your life. I see it in your faces. When you're singing, I see it in the staff. I see it in the faces. I see it in all of y'all. That lack of morbid fear that hangs over like a cloud, like, when am I going to die? What's it going to be like? Nah. I can tell, I feel the joy that's here, the assurance that you know, that you know, that you know. Yes, we know that we know. Well, I'm reminded of an experience that I had this past summer at a rehab center in Clemens. The daughter called me, this gentleman, and it's okay to say his name. She said that would be fine to say it's just Bill. He was really on his way to heaven. And I had had the privilege of being his minister for about 10 years at a church before this previous one. I mean, before my previous one. So it was like 92 to 2002. And Bill had sort of lost that connection. He had moved away from the church where, you know, he had joined and all that. So anyway, she called and said, Daddy is on his way. I just know he is. But when I arrived, she said, he is scared. I said, Daddy is really scared. I know him real well. We're close and he's very frightened. So together, the three of us, we were just there in that room, the rehab. And, you know, I just felt led to just talk with him very softly and gently about the glory of heaven, the safety of heaven, the assurance that in Christ we can go to heaven and we will, and that it's not scary, and just whatever the Lord put in me. I don't know what I said. I was just talking real softly, and he was looking at me. Well, he couldn't really talk very well. He could just say a couple of words. Well, then he kept looking up at the ceiling. So Bill, you know, he just kept looking up, and then he'd look at me. And then he'd look up and move his head a little bit and look. And I don't know what possessed me to say this, because I've never done this before. But I said, "Bill, what do you see?" Now, he couldn't really verbalize, so he took his hands and he goes like this. He's laying there in bed looking up, and he does this. He goes like that. And I look at his daughter, and she looks at me, and her eyes fill with tears, and we smile that. I said, "Bill, that's wonderful. You're seeing angels?" And he nodded. Well, I noticed as we talked a little more, Janice and I talked with him and prayed. And then he kept looking up more, but it was a different kind of look. He was sort of studying something up. And then he'd look at me a little bit and at Janice. Then he'd look up again, and I knew it was something different. And I thought, "What if? What if?" I said, "Bill, do you see Jean?" Because his wife had died a few years before, and they were very close. And he nodded. I mean, I'm getting chills talking about this now, y'all, because that was just an amazing experience for me. But he nodded, and his daughter, again, we just felt like we were on holy ground. And do you know what I said? I just remember saying, "Bill, I know that God is allowing you to see the angels and to see Jean so that you will not be afraid. And I'm sure she's beckoning you home." And he nodded. So Bill went on later that night, or wee hours actually of the morning, to be with the Lord. But I will never forget that holy ground. And it just affirmed to me all that I hold dear, all that I believe about heaven. You know, Paul encourages us to not lose heart in verse 16. He says, "Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day." How wonderful that is. There's a beautiful song by Casting Crowns. That's another band, a group that, you know, has beautiful songs. You might hear it on K-Love or whatever, and I like their music. But a song that they sing is, "Who Am I?" They say, "Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wondering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower, quickly fading, here today, gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I am yours, I am yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are." Lord, we just thank you so much, because we know that it's going to be amazing. We thank him and praise his name, because we know that the treasure that waits for us is truly going to be amazing. More than anything we've ever seen on earth, more beautiful, more perfect. We will walk in health and wholeness and completeness, just as our friends are walking that way and celebrating being with the Lord. It will truly be amazing. And we thank God for the opportunity that we have. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so very fragile. We need you so much. We would dare not want to live without your power and presence in our lives. Thank you for reminding us this morning that we are jars of clay, earthen vessels for your use, for your glory. It is not at all about us, but it's about your power in us and what you want to do in and through us while we walk this earthly journey. So we thank you for the gift of life that, as Sheila said, every day is a gift unto itself. It is, Lord. And we thank you for this day. And we thank you for what waits for all of us. How wonderful it's going to be to see your face and to see all of those people that we love so much that have gone before. thank you for going ahead of us and preparing a place. And continue to remind us that the way to come and be there with you is through Jesus Christ our Savior. For truly, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that we need to come to you through Him. Thank you, our Savior and our Lord. In Thy name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing Have Faith in God in a few moments. And as we're singing this song together, if you are here today and just feel a tugging that you are just hearing God speaking to you, you feel a tug from God at your heart, and perhaps you have never given your heart over to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that today. If you have a nudging to join this church, perhaps you've been thinking about it, or perhaps you're here for the first time, but you have a nudging to join, we invite you to come down and join, and you can also talk with Raymond when he gets back, of course. And, you know, Raymond always says, if you want to call during the week or talk, that's good too. You can talk to any of us and talk to him. You'd want to talk to him if you're thinking of joining. We are just so thankful for every member and every person that's a part of this fellowship. And we just invite you now. And one other thing, if you have a special prayer request that you want to pray about, feel free to come down during this song. At this time, would you bow with me for our benediction? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come to this house of worship to be reminded that we are just clay jars, but that your power does a mighty work inside of us as we ask and allow that. We thank you, Father, that you can shine through our brokenness, and we pray that as we go forth from this place carrying about inside of us the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you will shine through us every day of this precious earthly life, and may we forever know that things are settled, that we, Father God, have a great inheritance that's waiting for us with you in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.